If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
That it's February, right?
On the right stuff.biz.
We will just patiently wait for the instrumental section to finish. Sounds great. Will the show ever start?
Nah.
Because I got no.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega-donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
So
for Vladimir Putin and Tucker Carlson, it's actually Black Sea History Month.
Yes.
Black Sea History Month.
It's a good interview there.
With, as we know, the St. Petersburg there on the Black Sea.
I got news for you about Black Seas.
That was just so people...
We actually had to re-record this intro, and I just want to say that Sven is a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory.
I double click the button.
That's why he's happened. Got the cane.
Oh, no, the cane. It's like having glasses. I feel smarter.
I felt like I had more gravitas.
Yeah. Or that. That's basically
when I had the. But then I was also like, yeah. I also feel like you can knock me over with a feather. So
it's like I should get I should get glasses. That. Imagine if I had glasses and like I've. Whenever I see like a musician that I like and he's like in the studio and they're working on and they've got the glasses on, they don't normally wear. It's like, oh man, that means they're working really hard and it really sounds good. Because he's got readers on while he's recording.
It just means that he's like old.
Yeah. But no, it's just like, oh man, no, this means these people are really down in business. They're really serious. They got glasses on.
And you know, funny?
I have a cane, so.
As I've said, like my eyesight has been actually improving. I don't know why that is. But like it's to the point now where I'm stepping it down in the magnification of the readers
nice.
I use.
Nice.
And if I don't, like things that look like all fucked up and weird now. Like, and I can actually read like. Last night when I did my show, very much of what I was reading from the screen, I was reading without glasses.
Based.
And the font wasn't even that big. I could not have done that like a few years ago. It would have just been a big blurry mess. I don't know how that's happening. I don't know why that's happening. But then I feel like now I'm at the age where like it's just also going to start naturally reversing.
You're just running out of gravitas. Your takes aren't as good. That's why you don't have glasses on.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that could very well be true. As the takes get shittier, my vision gets sharper.
It's like
that's not true, though, because the takes now are just, they always get better.
I think we kind of need to go back to the 21st century BC and the Assyrian Empire to really start to extrapolate how things have progressed.
Well, you know what?
To where we are now.
I'm going to be honest with you.
What are the Assyrians? Like, what do we got these days? Like the boob Syrians? Are they the
feet? No, they leave off the ass. They're just the Syrians.
Yeah, like, well, it's like they had a war over like ass men and boob men, and the boob men won. The ass men.
I think like Jan Assman had a lot to say about that, right? Moses the Egyptian, like Jan Assman.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
This is what we have to do.
Well, as I said, like...
We don't have to do... It's not the takes that matter. It's the puns.
It's the weird puns. But like, as I was saying, talking about the Putin interview, how like I prefer to listen to Putin interviews...
You just want to hear like... Borscht, borscht, borscht,
with subtitles
borscht,
rather
borscht,
than with that like borscht, weird... Borscht, the worst borscht, thing borscht. Is, The worst thing is when they have, you can hear his voice on a lower volume, and then they have like the weird translator voice, like talking over it, who's like translating in real time over it. I can't stand that.
There's
it,
a point
I find it impossible to follow what they're saying. So what I want, what I need, real
you
quick.
Want, you want subs. You
I want
those.
The ass file.
Yeah, you got to be asked the Assyrians.
Somebody upload.
Assad.
Somebody put out there online the ass file for the Putin interview.
Who must read?
No, I'm assuming everyone gets that joke, you know. The ass.
I'm surprised they let a extension like
that's
that
happen. That's stand for like a, what, for like asshole subtitle system? Ass.
Is it like wine? Wine is not an emulator.
But it's, oh, God. It's, really
it's,
like Windows,
a it's a Windows emulator.
It's like a recursive acronym, like PHP, PHP Hypertext Processor.
Processor?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's what it actually stands for. PHP, Hypertext
There's
Processor.
There's a very funny moment. I listened to the entire interview on 1.5 this morning. There's a very funny moment, speaking of the problem you're having, where they tried to do a little realism. I don't remember what the question was, but Tucker asked... Yeah, I think Tucker asked, so when is the AI empire going to begin? Or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And...
Oh, yeah.
Putin cracks up laughing. And so the translator is like, like he's cracking up laughing too. Like, I don't know if he was actually also found the question funny or if he's just trying to reflect like Putin.
No, he's like, because I thought laughter was a universal language. You know,
I guess so.
But that, right?
He's let the translator is
that
laughing.
That is very.
I mean, I would be caught flat footed too if I had to translate laughter. I'd be like, what am I supposed to
laugh? Well, you don't have to. It's the universal language. Just don't you just like, just say like.
But. At one point in the interview, he starts talking about Elon Musk and computer chips, people's heads.
It was after that moment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and engineering super soldiers, and I was like, is this an Alex Jones interview? Like, what's...
See, that annoys me, the questions like that were asked. I'm like, why are you wasting this guy's
Tucker
time?
Tucker should have asked him about UFOs.
Like, why are you wasting his time with this dumb shit?
Do you think Americans have a decided advantage militarily because of Area 51 and all the discoveries they've made over the past century? All the secret alien technology?
Because they've been working with the Greys? Does the KGB
recently our government
have any files on
do
that?
You have any secret I'm alien plans that you could release to your people?
Do you have a secret alien base where you've been working with the Greys? In Siberia, maybe? Like, I actually
what did
think
you think
like,
of the Mexicans like paper mache alien corpses?
I would actually have a. I really wish I could interview Putin. I'd have so much better questions than that. Imagine asking about like AI and shit like that. Who fucking cares? I don't know.
I'd ask him about Golden
Cotton.
I'd ask
him about what his favorite Warhammer 40K faction was.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd ask him about like which like post Star Trek like 90s cable show was his favorite.
Like, what a Horus Heresy.
It's like, who's
overrated,
the most base?
They go
like,
too far.
Premier Putin.
Well, no.
Who's the most base captain and why is it Janeway, right? Like, you'd ask
well,
him that.
Well, from Putin's perspective,
then he would be like,
fuck Horus, because he's like, that's like Prigozhin. But see, the difference is that unlike the emperor, who's kind of a fag, he didn't get, like, Putin didn't become like a skeleton on a throne. He just, like, shot down a plane with Horus in it, right?
Allegedly.
Let's be honest. See, did Tucker ask him about that at all? Or did the Prigozhin just never come up?
There was no Prigozhin question.
I would have, just for the meme. I would have trolled him like you killed Prigozhin, right? Like you shot that plane down. Like, let's be honest. Like, I'm not mad. Like, it was you should have. It was the right thing to do. But let's be honest. Like, come on. Now.
I imagine there were probably some boundaries that allowed Tucker
to
have access to the Kremlin.
I would imagine that the Kremlin was like, don't ask about that. Or that he, or that if he did, there would have been like, all right, stop the interview. Don't ask about that, and we're starting over again. Yeah. Like, you know, like, they probably did have some of that. Because let's be honest, the Russian state, I even said this last night in my show, they're not exactly the most transparent. like, if transparency and governance is one of your values, Russia's really not your place.
He says that towards the end, Tucker's bothering him about some... Is there like a 14-year-old that they're holding for espionage or something over there or something like that?
It's entirely possible. I don't know. Maybe he probably committed espionage.
Well, Putin was saying, well, he did. Well, he was. But he was talking about how like there's talks, there's negotiations, and he's basically saying like these things are, you know, much better dealt with, you know, through the proper channels, not here in an interview. Like there's several things where he says he doesn't really want to continue giving out details publicly,
well, yeah,
you know,
The shit you got to keep. The shit you have to
like remind Tucker that it's like certain things.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, it's like you're in a hot armed conflict with like a proxy force from like America and Zog. Like, you can't actually tell everything because you better believe that intelligence agents are like pouring over this interview for any hint of like something they, you know, something.
Oh,
they
that
could
reminds
use,
me. So yeah. I don't know if everybody noticed, but the best debate tactic you have is calling your interlocutor a Fed. And Putin did it twice. Putin did it twice to Tucker during the interview.
That is fucking funny.
You referred to, you know, the CIA, a group that you tried to join. Good thing they didn't let you, Tucker, or something like that. And he left. And then there was another portion where he was talking, where I had sort of like my attention had lapsed, but I came back to it. So I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Like, the group responsible, like, he says to Tucker, like, were you, he says, like, were you busy that day? Like, yeah, he's like, yeah, I had something else to do that day. Like, sarcastic, talking about the CIA doing some gay shit in Ukraine in like 2014, probably. It was pretty funny. He twice bans Tucker for being a wannabe.
That's very funny.
Wannabe CIA.
I do wonder what it would actually be interesting because I don't really follow Tucker that closely. He only sort of becoming interesting like right after Trump won the election.
Yeah,
I sort of wonder like what kind of positions he had.
Well, before that, he was just a faggot.
He was
libertarian.
Like a douchebag. Yeah,
he was a libertarian. He was like
he was a douchebag neocon.
This
for
is
a
not like
bit, too.
Like this was
like
early was
on?
He? Oh, I don't
yeah.
remember that.
Early on,
I remember like
he was a
the,
douchebag neocon.
The sort of like the post Trump. Like alt-right era Tucker, like this was not his first time where you had like a fringe subset of the right wing thinking he was secretly one of them. Like he did that with like the ANCAPs thought he was secretly one of them for a while.
He went from when he first started, you know, he was doing Crossfire and shit like that. Mm-hmm. He was doing like basic bitch, like douchebag conservative neocon stuff.
Okay.
Then he kind of followed the typical trajectory. Then he went to be doing
he was
like,
just like me
libertarian
except
stuff.
He was getting like millions of dollars for it.
I know, right? That was what actually always irritated me about him, is I was like, I could do this.
Yeah.
But I'm not like a fucking
evolution there for a while.
Yeah, but yeah.
With a bow tie. Then once he stopped with the bow tie, his hair grew out a little bit, got a little bushier.
Yeah.
He stopped looking like such a nerd.
The bow tie shit was like legitimately like, dude, like that, like, I've never thought that was a clever gimmick, or I always thought that looked fucking dumb. Like people doing the bow tie for some, it's just kind of like a libertarian dog whistle, also a little bit. But it's just like, dude, you just look like a fucking asshole.
Well, you know what? At one point, it's probably just like, okay, you're like a suit wearing, you're a collared shirt talking head in the news media. Like, oh, he's the guy with the bow tie. Like, it makes you like you remember because I remember when he was. Like, oh, that's the bow tie guy, right?
Yeah,
I told you, Tucker Carlson. Okay.
I'm talking about, like, remember, like, George Will. Like, oh, he's the one that, he's the tweed jacket, like, tortoiseshell glasses guy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Like, or, like, Larry King, or, like, the suspenders in my shoulders up
to
here.
Just, like, he's just, like, the hawk-nosed Jew. Like,
I told Tucker Carlson he had a bow tie, and then Jon Stewart or somebody tore him apart so badly.
Yeah.
You're
just a dick. That was Jon Stewart, like, John being Stewart, at the end of his rope. He has nothing to say, so he just left.
Right,
back.
Right.
He just
like
laid
that's,
back
that
on
was
being
the
like
thing,
a Jewish
like,
vulgarian.
No,
comedian.
Yeah, he just started. He did
he was
the
just
thing,
mad, which is weird.
Yeah, no, that is something that is to this day held up as like one of Jon Stewart's like brilliant moment where he says to Tucker like, "You're just a dick." But the thing is that it's like,
you're again, just a kike.
Right. See, that's that you should just respond that way because why the fuck not at that
but
point?
I don't know what they were debating at that point. We
probably don't even remember.
We would probably be more sympathetic to what Jon Stewart was saying because they were probably talking about the Iraq War and Tucker was probably all in favor of it or something.
I actually doubt
maybe it was
that.
Tax cuts. I don't fucking
it was probably
know.
Something stupid that didn't matter on either side,
yeah,
but
that's
like,
probably right. Most of it is. All that stuff is.
Yeah, certainly Crossfire was like get invested in things that don't matter.
Mhm.
But I don't remember, but in terms of the actual, I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember. But what I'm wanting to remember, what I'm making up in my own mind about that incident is that, like, Tucker was basically doing some like, troll tactics.
Okay.
Like, oh, yeah, really? Huh? And then, like, Stewart just like, you're just a dick. But, see, that's considered to be, like, a brilliant moment of Jon Stewart because he basically did the libtard thing, which is, like, I actually don't care what you're saying. I just hate you. Like, and frankly, that's a lot of what goes on in America. I don't care
that's
what
everybody.
You're saying. I hate you because of who you are and the way you present. And Tucker did that bit. Like, I present this way because I know it makes liberals angry. Like, me presenting the way I present makes them angry. And the thing, the thing they hate, the stuff they hate about him, what do they hate? They hate, like, his like, blank stare face. They hate his cackle. His, like, giggly, like, girlish cackle that he is. Like, I find that stuff kind of annoying, too, to be honest. But whatever. The main thing I find Tucker annoying about Tucker is his sort of, like, strategic evasion of the real question.
No, I find the most annoying thing about him is that I smelled a fart face, that he can hold that expression for like 30 minutes at a time. It's
amazing. He's obviously, he's doing a bit. I mean, he's an entertainer, so he's doing a bit, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Anyway.
So he did the bit with Putin.
Like I said, I said, and I supported him doing this interview, and I was like, this is the best thing Tucker's done in a long time. He's actually doing something.
It's the only time I've wanted to watch Tucker since he started his independent show. Right.
Since he started doing an independent show, this is what I would argue is like the very first thing of real journalistic value he did. I think he also interviewed Viktor Orban about a year and a half or so ago. That was also good. Like, because these people that all you get in the Jewish media in America is just shit talking on these people. You don't get anything else.
Right.
And even from the base, and when you do that, you give Tucker a kind of high ground when you just, because all he has to do is like, I'm in Russia.
I'm in the Kremlin.
Oh, I'm not supposed to. It's sort of like, it's like basic bitch stuff. Like, I'm actually talking to somebody. I'm doing my job as a journalist, like all that stuff. But it's like, well, that's handed to him on a silver platter. If you get angry, if the Jews in America and like the libtards in America get angry that he's saying these things, because all they can respond to him when he says that is like, oh, he's using like journalism as an excuse to just put out like pro-Putin propaganda. Like, well, even if that's true, you've handed him that rhetoric on a silver platter. By like you've given him the high ground from the perspective of like, I'm doing journalism. I'm just getting a good interview. And like, frankly,
well,
I actually think that's more than likely it is just true that he's like, well, this is a great interview to get. Like, I'm lucky that I've got this interview. I'm going to go do that.
Yeah, well, what makes it a great get is the way the regime deals with stuff like this. Is like, yeah,
yes,
he's the bad guy, and anything he says is lying. So if you platform him, you're just platforming these lies. And
right.
It's the same thing they did with like the 2020 election and like COVID. It's like, you're just doing disinfo. We're going to ban all the disinfo. We're not going to basically say that we don't agree with you. We're going to say that like, you just have your own facts and they're fake, and therefore for the safety of everyone involved.
Right.
And then you start doing that to like opinion. And so
when
there's
you
a
do
point,
that,
there's
you
a point
hand
in interview,
Tucker that high
like,
ground, right?
Like, Tucker eventually gets around to asking him. Well, he doesn't eventually get around. He like drives to this point where he asks him about having any aspirations for taking any more territory in Europe, and he just is like, oh, it's like, absolutely not. It's not like, what are you talking about?
Which is a lie, that's the libtard thing. Right?
Oh, he's going to take all of Europe and put it under Russian control.
Well,
they were
trying to say like, I remember when they started when the Ukraine war started, and people were like, or we were like, well, if he takes like part or all or even like part of Ukraine, like I don't really care. I consider that their business, like their issue. And then people were like, well, what if he took Sweden? And I was like, yeah, but he doesn't want to do that.
Not going to take Sweden.
He doesn't want to do that. First of all, like, yeah, go ahead. Maybe make it less gay.
Yeah, that might be based, actually.
But he's not interested in doing that. Because the whole point they were saying that was because, like, Sweden wasn't a member of NATO like at the time. And it's like, they're like, oh, what if he takes Finland? I'm like, well, the Finland Russia thing is like, that's an ongoing fucking conflict over where that border actually belongs.
Like Karelia. But, like, I probably wouldn't care about that either. Sorry.
I mean, honestly, I probably wouldn't. Also, the Finland Russia thing is an ongoing.
The only
issue
thing that make me care is like, okay, does our empire not want them to do that? Then I'm for it.
On some level, like yeah,
like just do the opposite of what America wants. That's what I understand. Is like, we occasionally get criticized as being like anti-American. Like, what's there to be pro-American?
Yeah,
about?
Why would it?
Of course, I want this state to fail.
That was the
criticism. State is already failing you and me as people. I want it to fail in its geopolitical aspirations and its own. Like, I want to fail at its own goals so that it suffers. We're already suffering enough,
right?
And the policy is it's succeeding in making us suffer on certain levels and certain things. That's what it wants. So, of course, I'm anti-American.
Yeah.
So
and this was the critique.
That's the contrast I wanted to draw. That's why I posted that article, because we've got this thing about the special counsel on Biden.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, we could draw that, like, but I want to finish this point
That's the contrast they're trying to make. It's like, you have one head of state, and he's out there, he's giving a 30-minute like history lecture as to why this conflict is happening. And then you have another head of state who has to go like do a press conference about, like, I'm not actually retarded. I'm not actually retarded and old. I'm competent.
I'm smart.
I'm smart.
I'm smart.
It's not like Vladimir says.
Diminished faculties facing age. So that's
I could
great...
I could be president. I'm smart.
Yeah. Yep. And also, you get you also get the sense listening to the Putin that he's actually
smart.
That he's actually in charge
of
that country.
Making decisions.
Whereas
yes.
Biden's like, we're gonna go and we're
well, see,
like he's clearly not in charge. And Putin talks about that. Like it's Putin actually gives somewhat of a almost like a gay assessment of like who's making like
what you're saying. That's what I think is so fascinating about the entire situation is that if you are a Democrat or a liberal, you're in the position where you're voting for Biden because you know he's not really in charge, so it doesn't matter, and this you're still defeating Donald Trump, and that's the important thing.
Right, but then the question is if you know that he's really not in charge, and it doesn't matter, what's the fucking point? So who is in charge?
Exactly.
And the fact is, that's not going to change.
Right.
That's not going to change. And now this is also something that is the difference.
It'll change once he denazifies the West.
On like a meta... On like a meta level, this is kind of the difference between an authoritarian...
If you're hearing this, then you're only getting half the show. Did you know that therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded? Thanks to this censorship machine, this project can only be sustained by listeners like you, by supporters like you. So why don't you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall and show the powers that be that they can't silence the most silenced.
Government and like a liberal government. And it's also why in liberal governments and liberal countries like in America and increasingly Western Europe, conspiracy theories run rampant. Because you know that the people they're putting out there as being in are not in charge.
Right.
You know that. But you don't. So then the question is, well, who is? And then that's the gray area where all of this shit like percolates and things like that. But in Russia, it's Putin actually is in charge.
Yeah.
There's other people and interests in the U.S. to negotiate and other power centers and things like that. But he is a big part of the decision-making process. And, like, in the end, if he decides differently, like, he probably has to listen to everyone and negotiate between a bunch of different factions and settle disputes or, and you know. But in the end, it is him. And that's real. Like, there's other powers and there's other... But, of course, he also has his whole team. He has his whole faction. He's got a whole... group of people that are like, yeah, well, we're just Putin guys, and whatever he says goes, and if you don't like it, like, we're legitimately going to kick your ass.
Putin guys.
And I'd say that's just so much more, again, this is counterintuitive if you're an American, you've been brought up to think this thing. One, that's, I would say, healthier, and it's more democratic.
It's definitely more
authoritarianism democratic. Is democratic.
Authoritarianism. Being done by someone of the same group who cares about his group. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, that's what you need. That's the idea.
America, we've got the situation with this Biden thing with the special counsel where it's like not only is the emperor, he doesn't have any clothes because he forgot.
The emperor has no brains.
And he's not really an emperor.
No, he's not. He's like,
he's a spokesman and he's not good at it.
He's like a court jester. Like, that's actually, in the West, the president is like the court jester. He's there to, I mean, fucking Douglas Adams, even.
I always say he's like the director of marketing. Oh, yeah, Douglas Adams.
Remember, like, with
Ford Prefect, whatever
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Like,
who was
that,
Ford Prefect?
Yeah. Ford Prefect was just one of the characters in the show.
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Yeah, but he was just there, like, again, this is extreme satire. He was like, yeah, the whole point of now is the president is just there to do, like, media scandals. He's there to like date models, have like sex scandals. You go to the like
I'm watch that again. That was a good. I'm not going to read again, but I'll watch it again. Is that Zaphod Beeblebrox?
I mean, the reading is kind of entertaining.
I don't remember.
I got a quote from my article here. In deciding not to charge Biden with any crimes, special counsel wrote that in a potential trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury as he did during our interview with him. Is a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory.
Right.
And apparently that's a justification for not actually taking him to trial.
Everything they could do to not use the word doddering in that description.
Well, now, yes. And the thing is, this has to do with like that secret documents thing, or he had a document in his house.
Right, because I don't think that if you were having a prosecution looking at a normal American's case, I don't think they'd ever conclude he's just too old and well-meaning for us to convict him. I think they'd just throw the book at him.
I'm actually surprised they did that, because it's clear what happened is like, so you had the Donald had a bunch of, had like boxes of documents at his Was it in Florida? Mm-hmm. And so they were like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah." Well, I bet Biden has a document too. And it was like, "Shut the fuck up." And instead of saying, just saying, "Shut the fuck up," he's the president. We're not charging him. They're like, "He's actually too old." Well, I don't really get the shot here. It's kind of a strange way to handle it.
Like, well, it doesn't matter. That's
everybody
right.
understands it. Like, that's no, that's relevant. like you had a manufactured scandal for Trump stealing documents. You're trying to hang him on that. Because for some reason, we just can't seem to get him on this whole insurrection thing. We can get all of his, like, two-bit supporters of an average people and throw them in jail for, like, extensive periods of time for trespassing. But we just can't get the mastermind of this. We can't just get it. We can't bring that guy. So, guess what? He's got boxes of files from when he was the president.
They're in his garage. You know what those files were? You want to know my
I can't imagine anybody would give a fuck
what
those files were.
No, I'll tell you what they were.
The stuff for Israel?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was shit that he, like, my opinion on that was legitimately,
yeah, I remember.
It was stuff that he was trying to use to bargain with the Israelis. Possibly, either one, he wanted to just give it to them because he wanted to give it to them, or he wanted to use it as leverage to get heat off of him.
I imagine it's his job to just get them those documents.
That sort of was actually ultimately I concluded, that he wasn't even trying to use it. It's just like, he got these documents, he's just going to give them to Israel. Like, there's like, no real...
A right winger, like, doing a deal with the Jews, doing, it's like, you just get nothing.
Well, yes, but Trump's not.
That's
just
true.
Trump is a little bit. He is a more. See, the difference is Trump is not a typical rightoid, and that he's not just a mark. That's actually one of the reasons why. Now, he's a scumbag, but he's not just a mark. That's one of the reasons why Jews didn't like him, because he. I think this is actually one of the reasons why Jews were iffy on Trump. They're not now. Mm-hmm. Is that they're like, well, this dude actually wants something out of a bargain with us. He actually wants to get something. Now, the thing is, in the end, what he wants is purely for him. It's not for anyone else. Like, he's purely selfish, so it doesn't, in the end, matter, right? Like, he just wants the prestige, the power, and the appearance, and, like, the, you know, whatever. So he's not, like, there's no greater cause that Trump is bargaining with Jews on behalf of. It's purely himself. So, like, oh, I mean, that's, like, less of a problem. You know, as long as he's totally venal, we don't really care, right? But yeah, no, the shit that was in those files, all stuff on like Iranian plans or like Pentagon plans on potential things with Iran and intelligence on Iran. I mean, it's always that. Whenever you catch people stealing and moving files around, it's always fucking related to that shit. Like, it's not what he had files on, like, I don't know. Like,
I take a lot of work home with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to.
Work is being a Zionist shill, so I take that home with me.
Take it with me to the golf course, wherever it's gotta go.
I take it with me to that cheesy bathroom in Mar-a-Lago.
So there was a bit here that Alex gave me from the Putin interview.
But I'm also, real quick, I like the idea that he went into a long thing on Russian history.
Dude, it was fascinating.
I find that interesting.
It was cool.
I find
actually,
that interesting.
As an American, you should do that thing where you feel like inferior to Europeans, because, like, you know, they've got like a fucking like 1,200-year thing to talk about, where it's like, well...
Or you could just
like 200 years ago,
or
you had
could
like
just
knickers.
Think of yourself as a member of that, as a part of a continuity of that culture and that.
Like I said,
thing,
you can have your American inferiority complex, where it's like, yeah, these people have so much more than us.
Before we move to that, just this week, Biden twice referred to conversations he's had as president with foreign leaders who've long since died. In his remarks Thursday night, defending his competency, while talking about the war in Gaza, he referred to Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi as being the head of Mexico.
Right. That shows. That's also really funny, because that shows he's kind of like a racist.
He looks like a Mexican.
Right.
I mean,
he looks like a Mexican.
But he was like, defending his competency?
Well, here's my question. Like, has anybody, like, have they broached that sort of uncomfortable truth that he's basically saying brown people look alike?
Yeah.
When he says he's going to Tom McDonald, like, everybody looks the same if they're not white, and I'm sorry, but it's true. Like, has he ever said that about like two European heads of state? I can't tell the difference between Olaf Scholz and Viktor Orban. I don't know.
Isn't some Jew broad with a funny name about to become the president of Mexico?
Yes.
What's that bitch's name?
Claudia Steinbaum.
Claudia.
So think about this. This is a gag.
Because I was talking about doing Shinedown parody songs.
Shinedown. Well, Shinedown, and I was saying, you know, Shinedown is what the police call over the police scanner when they have to shoot somebody, like, you know, when George Floyd died, like, Shinedown. Shinedown. But
I'm just going to put Shine down in the notes and let anyone wonder what's
funny.
Going on.
Here's the funniest thing about that. So now, when I made that comment yesterday about Steinbaum is the favorite to be president, their election is in June, and James messaged me. He's like, the opposition is also a Jew. So either way, it's going to be a Jew, no matter
what's
what.
What's happening to Amway? What's happening to the vacuum salesman?
Well, he's done, because you get 1 6-year term as president of Mexico. And that's it. Yeah,
why can't he be the president of Mexico for 25 years?
I don't know. It's like, kind of like dumb. It's like, frankly,
I like AMLO for some reason.
Frankly, this is just another in America, when you talk about general political principles, you start feeling stupid, because they're the only general political principle in America should be like, get rid of Jews.
Mm.
And then we can actually talk about whatever political principle we want. But like, talking about how to run this system, it's like any system with Jews in charge is just a no, because it doesn't really matter at that point. I think people talking about systems is like almost a LARP. Like, it doesn't really matter. But, what was I saying? I think term limit, the idea of term limits as like being something important, I think it's stupid. I don't think it really matters very much. But anyway, whatever. Libertarians used to make the point like actually term limits are bad, because they make you do as much corruption as you can in a short period of time. I actually find that somewhat convincing. Whereas, like, you should actually make people own that shit for a longer period of time. Like, a better ruler will rule for a long time. That actually makes sense to me. But
what if, like,
term limits can just incentivize having, like, a revolving door where you get in there, you do shit for 4 years to help some corporation, and then you become, like, a CEO of that corporation when you leave.
Right. You actually want the ruler to have some ownership of what he's, like, you know, like an authoritarian dictator or king or something.
Well, maybe it shouldn't cost you like millions of dollars of fundraising in a campaign to like get the job, because maybe that would cut. I don't know.
There's a lot of issues. The whole
that's fucking. Are you a communist?
Yes.
Yeah. And whatever pisses you off the most.
Yeah. I'm annoying.
But what the fuck was I talking about? Term limits. It doesn't
Steinberg.
Matter.
What's her name?
Oh, this is what's funny, right?
Steinbaum.
So Claudia Steinbaum will be president of Mexico, right? So she'll be theoretically in charge of the Mexican side of the Mexican-American border. Well, who's in charge of it on the American side? Well, it's a Jew. It's another Jew, Alejandro Mayorkas. The funny thing is, the one with the Mexican name is the one in America.
Yeah, that's
like
how
in
you
America
do.
we have a Jew with a Mexican name as our like border chieftain, and in Mexico, like, oh, we have a Jew with a Jewish name. You know what Steinbaum means in German? It's Scheinbaum. It's not Steinbaum. Scheinbaum.
It is Scheinbaum?
Claudia, yeah, that's why you said Scheinbaum. It's not Steinbaum. I'm sorry.
Scheinbaum.
Steinbaum awesome. Would be Stone Branch. Scheinbaum means Light Branch. So her name is like Claudia Light Branch. Now, I've heard that in Spanish-speaking countries, like in South America, Jews tend to be named after like trees and flowers. Oh. Like if someone has a name like has the last name of like a tree or a flower, it's like heavily suspected that they're a fucking kike. Also, Jews seem to be very interested in like taking direct control of countries these days. Like literally just openly having the president of Mexico be Jewish. Like
that's a bit much, huh?
And also then you got like Milei down in Argentina is like an open fucking Jewish shill. Like they seem to be like, look, we're going to just be taking pretty much open Zionist control of South America and basically everything now, because they really can't trust Goyim. Goyim are either too ideologically opposed to their shit or too incompetent to like take these positions.
They're also getting into territory where their rule is really, really against the interests of everyone underneath it. Like, they're really coming up against some hard limits.
They're coming up against a point where, like, look at that. The interest of Jews is basically the opposite of everyone else on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Uh-oh, what do you got from
with the
John
exception
Kirby
of,
here?
Like...
It's just checking with John Kirby here.
Is John Kirby homosexual? I get the vibe like he is.
He's white and he's in the State Department. He has to be gay.
I'm assuming he's a gay... He also like shills for like promoting. He basically said promoting LGBT is like one of our foreign policy goals. Like in one
so
of these
here
briefings.
He's so here he's I guess I guess here he's just gonna cry about the interview. This is a big deal.
He always looks like he's about to fucking cry.
Tucker
he probably should be crying.
Well, I get Tucker
he cry all the time.
Tucker threw some big monkey wrenches doing that interview.
Yeah, what's with that tie?
This is what the regime is going to hit back with.
Tucker Carlson's interview with Vladimir Putin could further erode support for Ukraine aid in the United States.
Why did you have to ask a question that was so cutting and yet so true?
That there is strong bipartisan support on Capitol Hill for supporting Ukraine.
That's actually not true.
And we know there's efforts now to bring something up onto the Senate floor for a vote that would have Ukraine, Israel, Indo-Pacific, and humanitarian assistance so supplemental funding in it and without the border. We'll let senators work that out. The president believes that support for Ukraine is critical, particularly right now, as Russia continues to try to hit their defense industrial base,
They're not trying.
Battle.
Okay. They're idiots.
It's crucial to support Ukraine
as
now.
As they continue to score like large hits.
Yeah.
From east to south, it's vital. And he's confident that and based on the meetings he's had with leaders on Capitol Hill and the discussions he's had certainly over recent weeks, that again the leadership, even on the House side, the leadership is solidly in support of supporting Ukraine. Now whether they're going to be affected or impacted by a television interview, I couldn't begin to guess.
I guess I'm asking beyond
just
among the Americans.
There's an assumption here that he's making, which is funny because what does the interviewer ask? The interviewer says, because one of the things in reading the liberal media, the Jewish liberal media's response to the interview, one of the things they were saying is like they're mad. They're saying like this is timed perfectly because there's this bill going on. They're trying to get the spending bill passed. The Republicans continue to obstruct specifically on the issue of like the Ukraine funding, and then the border restrictions aren't strong enough. They've been batting this bill around since October,
yeah,
and they haven't gotten it done. And so what he's saying though, and so. The media's narrative on the Tucker Carlson interview is that it's like Putin is using Tucker to further undermine support amongst the right in America for spending money in Ukraine. Now, that could very well be true, and if so, that's just Vladimir Putin being smart. Right? It's like, stay mad that he's just making a smart move and that he, at a time when there's a funding bill, is going to like erode support for sending money to Ukraine amongst the American people. John Kirby is kind of saying like, well, a TV interview with the potential to change the opinions or affect the opinions of millions of people, we don't care about that because it's not like we give a shit what people think here.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
It's not like we care what Americans actually think. No, that's kind of irrelevant. I mean, on TV interview. It's like, no, because the thing is, though, that, yes, they don't actually care what people think. But, you know, if you're a government, if you're a state, and you are just openly disregarding, like, what people think or care about, like, time and time again. I mean, that's why they do this elaborate pageant, as if, like, there is somebody out there that is acting on what you think. But it does seem that there's at least some faction that is sort of like, eh, why are we going to continue to spend money on Ukraine? Because they have been like bandying this about for a while. And what's interesting to me is that with this bill, eventually what they did, because what Republicans are saying is like, in order to fund Ukraine, you have to give us what we want on the border. So they put some like border shit in there, and then they were like, oh, that's not good enough. So they rejected that, and now they have a bill that's only to fund Israel and Ukraine with no border things in there, and that's being debated. I'm like, well, that seems like the Republicans are like, okay, we're just going to give up any leverage at all. I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense when you think about it. But anyway, that's what they're negotiating on now. So I have no idea.
His comments about the interview are supposed to be pretty funny, according to what I read.
American people, many of whom, you know, watch Tucker Carlson's show and are inclined already to be skeptical of American support for Ukraine, would hearing directly from Putin potentially erode that further, not just in the halls of Congress, but among the people?
I think the American people know well who's at fault here. And I think they know that there was no ground whatsoever for the invasion on February 22nd, 2 years ago. He invaded a neighboring country without provocation. Ukraine wasn't a threat to anybody, and the American people understand that. The American people understand what Ukraine's fighting for. And all they're asking for is our help. They're not asking for American boots on the ground. Again, I don't think the American people are going to be swayed by one single interview. And I think anybody that watches that interview, again, I haven't seen whatever's said, need to make sure you're listening to Vladimir Putin. And you shouldn't take at face value anything he has to say.
As opposed to me.
Yeah, as opposed to take everything at face value you said.
Yeah, as opposed to like...
Believe anything he says. It was unprovoked. It just... Or no,
remember,
I invaded
so
a neighboring country for no particular reason. It's country A for no reason.
Well, the thing is...
And he spent a good amount of... The reason he did a 30-minute like history lesson was to lead up to like Maidan.
Yeah.
And all that shit. And to lead up to, like, then there were other, like, broken agreements between Maidan and February 22nd, 2022.
He went through
all that stuff, and it's like, did that happen
it's
or
a
not?
A long
like,
history of broken
that,
promises.
I was like, that stuff all happened. You were trying to design a missile defense system, and you let, and they had basically, he says that they asked to be a part of that, and we were like, nah.
Yeah.
Because he says that America and NATO sold... They were saying we wanted a missile defense system to mitigate a threat from Iran. And Russia would be like, all right, we want to be able to help you do that. We want to be in on that in case there is a threat from Iran. And then America was just like, yeah, no, we're just going to put these in Ukraine.
Yeah, and let's be also honest, like Russia...
And Russia's like, oh.
Russia's saying, like, we want in on that probably wasn't like, we actually are worried about a threat from Iran. They're more like... Well, if you're going to be designing a sophisticated new missile defense system, we just want in on that because we kind of have a suspicion here that you're actually
and then they were proven. Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's daily show, the first half anyway, with annoying ads interrupting it throughout. You can get away from this by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and signing up for a subscription. You will be treated to the full show on a convenient RSS feed in one giant file. You'll never have to hear these sales pitches again, and you'll get to comment and use the Bang forum. What fun! Join us, therightstuff.biz/paywall.
What the actual agenda here is, because who else is it really going to be for, right? Is it going to be for them? And they're like, and in fact, frankly, though, having, if you think about it, in the interest of, like, world peace or not having a big war between the two big powers, the two big military powers in the world, having them both work together to design, like, the top-tier missile defense, which will never have to be used because the two countries that would most need it against each other are working together to design it, therefore neither one would actually have the edge, that's actually the smart way to do it. It's kind of a bit roundabout, but it's like, well, if you have the two biggest military countries working together on the design thing and they both get it, they both understand the technology and they both have this missile defense system, that's good. Then they're both like, well, we've done mutually assured deterrence, so good, that's good, right?
Yeah, I gotta wonder with John Kirby, does he believe the things that come out of his own mouth?
I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure he doesn't care.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure he's a total... The guy has been... You know, he's an admiral, right? So he's definitely gay because he was in the Navy. he was an admiral, but even so, he was never
What is this? Why are we here? Sorry about that.
Even being an admiral, like his... he's always been a press guy, like a spokesman. He's always been the guy that talks to the media, even when he was in the Navy as an admiral. So he's just a lot. He's a professional liar.
Or you mean like when he was in the Village People?
Right. No, he probably. I will bet you that guy is a fag. He might have a beard or something like that, but it seems he strikes me as gay. Well, he also like is a spokesperson for the American government, so that's sort of like just inherently gay. But yeah.
Oh yeah, one of these Chinamen that I started following on that show a few weeks ago. He tweets a great quote from the interview. Are you ready to hear it? In the war of propaganda, it's very difficult to defeat the U.S. because the U.S. controls all the world's media. Does that to Tucker? That was a good moment.
So apparently there have been rumors circulating around John Kirby being gay. So I just searched John Kirby gay. He was believed to be gay. It literally comes up as a top thing on Google. He was believed to be gay. However, news regarding Kirby's gay claim is totally false. He's married to his wife, Donna Kirby. That doesn't mean. Kirby is...
Like a Michael Obama situation.
Yeah. Here we go. My brother calls Kirby gay.
Get a Rudolph von Flugel in the case here.
Is he correct? Says no, because Kirby is non... Oh, they're talking about the little puffy, fluffy, pink character, Kirby. Kirby is non-binary. So technically, they can't be gay nor straight. I love this. This is kind of... See, this is how you know America is a sick society. Because an inordinate amount of time is spent by people online just arguing whether, like, puffy pink cartoon characters are gay.
There was a thing that happened after, I think it's after the Xers. This is why the Xers will always be a superior generation to everyone younger than them. We, like, let go of the childhood stuff that we liked. Starting with the millennials, like, the dumb shit you liked as a kid, you had to discuss whether or not it was gay, non-binary, what it had sex with.
Right, something like Kirby,
the little pink bubble thing. Like, there's nothing. That was a character for children. There's nothing sexual about it. There's no reason to. But for some reason, millennials, like all the fucking butthole staring that they did, they had to bring all that along.
It kind of started
with Kevin Smith, but I think he was being sarcastic.
It's sort of inherent to being a kid alt because you're like, okay, these things that I was interested in before I became interested in sex because I was a kid. I've now reached the age where I'm interested in sex, but I'm also still interested in these funny, weird cartoon characters.
I'm interested in sex with the funny, weird cartoon characters.
So now
characters.
I'm interested in sex and...
So they say, that's not...
So now it's like...
I have sex with my wife.
That's a... isolate that?
No, do not isolate that. Luckily, you're interrupting me, so it's unintelligible.
That's true. It's a shitty... Wait, say that again? Can you let's repeat this argument? Enunciate it so everyone can hear?
I like girls.
Okay.
Specifically my wife. I'm a wife guy.
A wife guy.
Okay. I feel like there's probably some weird fetish thing that could be attached to the term wife guy.
No, it's actually a cringe internet thing. Being a wife guy.
What, like you have a wife fetish?
Well,
oh,
I don't want to run down young single men, but wife guy is a thing that young single men have come up to, like sort of like put down married man when they don't like, you know, when they're doing like the bitter stuff. Which... My tendency is to like, oh yeah,
I know.
But I also just want to be like, that's not a constructive avenue for your angst and your justified dissatisfaction with our culture at large at the moment, which makes it hard.
Yeah, it's tough to not just do the thing like just ban somebody for not getting pussy. But
yeah,
like,
well,
you
caught the last helicopter out of Saigon, my friend.
That's the claim. Yes,
I didn't marry a gook.
The problem is too many people are helicoptering into Saigon now.
Yeah,
or Saigon's
they're helicoptering into like cartoon Saigon. They want the cartoon gooks and they pretend to have sex with them,
which just look like exaggerated white women.
White women, yeah.
They don't look like gooks. They look
anyway.
It's amazing how when gooks draw themselves, they actually just draw white people. I've never
understood
like, that. Yeah,
yeah, dinner plate eyeballs and shit.
To be fair to those guys, from observing what is happening with modern generations, yeah, that's got to be a shit show. It's going to be a shit show out there.
Well, I just avoid the topic because I know if I start giving out like advice, it'll just come off like I'm a cringy.
We
like,
can't give advice
guy,
to these people.
So,
we have no idea what the hell's going on.
You know what disturbs me is, God, I'm going to sound like a boomer now. It's watching like babies with and toddlers with fucking touch screen devices, and they've got their iPad, and they're staring into the iPad, and they're in like one of these mobile jail cell type contraptions.
Jail cell?
I see that shit's... Yeah, it's like they put them in like a little toddler container, and then they give them an iPad, and then ignore them.
I've seen the kid like using... Well, I've seen like... I actually am fine with it, some of it. Like, I've seen like you're at a restaurant, and somebody has a toddler, and they're just touch screen. I'm like, oh man, I wish I had that kind of shit to keep my kids, get them to like leave.
No, you want to do like me. You want your kids to go and literally destroy part of the restaurant.
No, I want to eat my meal in peace.
You know what's annoying to me is that John Kirby's beard is actually kind of cute. What a waste. I mean, I don't know. I just looked at
a picture. You know what happened last time I went to a Mexican restaurant? Finnegan pulled a table over on top of himself.
Is that same Mexican restaurant we went to that time?
Is he okay?
That's the one. That's the one. He went around to the very back corner and he found a table that was not in use and managed to deconstruct it and land the components on top of himself, pinning himself around the table.
Now I'm starving.
This is why you can't let rednecks go anywhere.
My kids are athletic.
mean very athletic. You mean they're unruly. And they lack discipline.
That's how you become athletic, is like
maybe,
unruly.
Maybe spend less time teaching them how to like catch snakes and teach them how to behave. Like, listen, Finnegan, this is how you be quiet.
Let's be honest.
I know.
They're redneck children. They're never going to need to behave.
They live across the street from this trailer park. They're fucked.
There's never going to be a situation where they need to be like polite in polite society because they're not. They're just never going to ascend to that
level. It's also true. Oh, no. We're going to offend the fat ass in the flip-flops at Walmart. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You realize I'm going to... You realize if I ever... If I go to Walmart anytime soon, that I'm going to be in the Sharded Mart cart.
Oh, don't do that to yourself.
Oh, I will be in the mobility scooter. I'm not caning around one-handed at Walmart. If I go to Walmart,
you know what's funny? When I
mobility scooter.
You remember when I
call me Scooter Liptard?
You remember when I legitimately couldn't walk?
Yeah, you still wouldn't do that.
I was still like, I felt like I won't do. There was a point.
I can't remember the last time I've been in Walmart, but if I do,
dude, there was a point when I actually took a tumble in the store. Like we were not at Walmart, but at the grocery store around here, and we were shopping, and I actually fell, and I did a yard sale, like I fell in like the. Really, my cane went like clattering across the floor, and
oh no!
Jamie had to come, and it was a thing where I didn't properly judge like how high I'd lifted my leg, and so like my front toe like skipped, and then I just lost my balance. This is months and months ago, and
this is pre-surgery. This is pre-op, right?
Pre-surgery, yeah, pre-op. Obviously. But it was when I was already pretty well advanced in how bad it was. So she had to help me up and got the cane, everything, and someone came and like, do you need a scooter? And I was like.
Oh, why? Because they want to sell you a used one?
They were offering. They were being nice. They were offering to help me get a. No, they weren't. No, they were basically like, "I'll go get you one of the scooters from the front if you need it." Like, everybody was really nice about it. Like, everybody was like, "Oh my god, are you okay?"
Oh, you mean like there were no niggers around to like try to pick your pocket?
No, there was
while
no
you were
black
down.
People around.
No one shot you.
It was all like
no one just like kicked you in the face
much as
for
you,
fun.
As much as you shit on like the you know the working class white people around here or whatever the like. They were all just really nice about that. Everyone was like, "Oh no, you fell. Can we help you?
Oh, I'm sure
something
be
we can do." Everybody jumped to like try and do something to help, like right away.
Well, if something like that is actually happening, they don't have time to say anything dumb.
Well,
because they're dealing with a real problem. Like a man fell down and needs help. They don't have time to tell you about Fox News.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People, average people in America.
Like, I'm sure as soon as they got you like righted into your scooter, they would have asked you about the litter boxes.
Their minds went back to like
do you know about these cat litter boxes they have in the schools for your kids to pretend that they're?
Well, no. I think what it is that like normal people. We discussed this already on the show. The bulk of people just need to be led, and they need to be led properly by people that have their interests at heart, not people that are telling them lies in order to trick them.
They need to not be in a giant dog and pony show where they're given the illusion of choice in the matter of who's in charge, and both choices are bad, but they become extremely tribal about which one is
and
good.
They start to really like the one choice because people tell them things like litter boxes and things like that, where people give them like a... They give them like a stupid version of the thing that they don't like.
It's what's so terrible about what we just watched with Kirby. Like, Kirby should be one of these people where he's telling you what's going on, but instead he's telling you that man invaded a neighboring country for no reason, no provocation whatsoever, when he knows damn well.
What's so
as
funny?
As a State Department, he knows damn well what the United States has done over
the
last 20 years.
He knows the whole fucking
story.
Yeah.
The entire, like, all this, all that. He probably doesn't know as much history as Putin does going back to
what's funny
the year 862, whatever the hell it was.
What's funny about that is that it's like, are you literally playing a caricature of a government spokesman just lying?
And he's just telling them, like, don't believe what he says. Don't believe the bad man on TV.
Don't believe his lies.
Vladimir Putin,
don't believe his lies.
It's like, I think the American people know. And that's like, that's the implied pat on the head for you to be like, he's right, I do know.
Oh,
he's talking about me.
Oh, yeah, we American people.
I know.
It's like that condescending thing.
Me and Kirby
like,
are vibing right now.
Well, that's the thing where it's like, you're smart. You know things.
You're smart.
You know that Putin is retarded. But the thing is that it's like, you know, even the story of what went on in Ukraine, it's not inaccessible. Like the history, if you're an American, like you can find it out.
It's like forbidden, though. Like even the Republicans don't talk about it. They just talk about taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, they don't actually tell
they
you.
Don't get into
the
issue.
Because they don't want to do the bit where they actually
like if
tell
they could
you
find
the truth.
If they could find a more affordable way to do the war, they'd be all for it.
Well, like we've talked about how the way to challenge it, because they know people don't like it, but they're going to challenge it on like the shittiest grounds, like my taxpayer dollars. And frankly, that's a fallback position for any position that you don't like, but you don't want to take a principled stand on. Like, why don't you just say, because what the Republicans aren't going to do is undermine the general U.S. Zog foreign policy, like, generally, right? They're not going to actually, like, let's take a systematic look at this country and how it operates and deconstruct that, because there's nothing particularly unique about that. It's just like, this is how we do, right? So,
yeah.
That's okay. Because...
Yeah, I was... what happened to Sven? Where did he go?
He went to the bathroom. He didn't say that he was, but I just heard the bathroom door close.
Oh, I thought I was watching him get tangled up in his mic cable.
No, yeah, so did I, but then he... I think that's because
he's going to destroy his other knee.
He had to go take a piss. He's still listening, because
he was only functioning on one knee to begin with. He's going to trip over that mic cable and destroy the other knee.
I wasn't sure he went, but I heard the bathroom door close. So
and then it's going to destroy his mic whenever it shorts out, like it did my other mic. I've got a new mic, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How's that working out for you?
I like it. I like the fact that it's a functional mic. Yeah.
Good.
It's black. It's very black. It's black.
And it works?
Mic. Yeah. And my last one was silver. Thing. I know, right? It's a black thing that's
working. Actually, everything here is black. That mic is black. This one's black. Most microphones are black. That doesn't really matter because they're not black people. They're black pieces of equipment that are like black metal and plastic, and that can work perfectly fine. It's black people that don't work. That's the issue. Not black things. Black things usually work fine and look cool too. They kind of look cool. I like the color black. I think that black things often look really cool. I usually wear black t-shirts instead of white t-shirts.
Black is very slimming. It's a difficult color though to keep clean. I had some other content, but I got to find the right timestamp. It was actually Tucker Carlson reflecting on his interview with Putin. And he talks about how America is run by nutcases and Victoria Nuland is a poisonous moron. And I kind of agree with that sentiment.
Well,
it's fairly accurate.
Is she, again, now there's a question, like, here's one of the things. Here's one of the issues. It's sort of like, you could say, like, Victoria Nuland is stupid. But the main thing is that she's Jewish.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I'm looking
at the replies to this clip, and the second reply is Nuland orchestrated the regime change in Ukraine, a Jew.
Yes.
All right, then.
Yes. See, this is my thing. It's really important to understanding what's going on there.
Well, I think they understand, apparently. This is apparently a widespread piece of knowledge people have acquired.
Yes. This is something that is increasingly understood. And I think this is something that should be understood. And I think people should be talking about this openly. These people are all Jews.
Yeah.
The foreign policy is run by Jews. Ukraine, frankly, is run by Jews. The Ukrainian government is an entirely Jewish endeavor. It's run from Washington by Jews with like some Jewish like viceroys or like some Jewish provincial managers like Zelensky and these other people over there. So yeah, it's a Jewish thing. It's a Jewish policy that's being pursued. And yes, these Jews have used a bunch of neo-Nazi hooligans as cannon fodder. And they did that by appealing to the sentiments of neo-Nazis in that region, which are more directed against Russia than against Jews.
Yeah, Putin talks a lot about the denazification of these
areas.
Yes,
and I know
areas.
That bothers people here. But first of all, like, there's a lot to say on that.
He's talking about nationalist movements in these areas, in these countries that are they're about not being Russian. Okay, yeah. They don't like these neo-Nazi. I don't even know what they say about Jews, but apparently, especially with these like the Benderite, like Azov, like
they fucking love Jews.
They seem to have a lot more problems with Russia. I don't know if they love Jews, but they seem to be prioritizing being anti-Russian over being anti-Jew.
They definitely do.
Because what they've done is if you're one of these Intermarium states or whatever. You're a second world country. You're going to be subject to some larger country's sphere of influence. The way the world is organized right now, and you have two choices: you have NATO and you have Russia.
Right.
And when you have like a neo-Nazi, I hate to use that fucking gay ass term, but when you have a nationalist movement in these countries that prioritize being anti-Russian, the answer becomes, well, we'll just be pro-NATO because NATO is fighting Russia.
And you're not actually a nationalist.
And then you're not, you're a NATOist at that point. And that's my objection to it.
Yeah, you're
I understand, I've talked, well, in the past, not very recently, but I've also read some stuff where, Azov Ukraine enjoyers have said, and I can see, they really did believe, a lot of them, really did believe the bullshit that they were going, not that it's a bad goal, but it's bullshit that it was possible, that they were going to fight off the Russians and take control of the state from NATO. And it's like, that was never going to happen.
I feel like never that was always, I'll be honest, I feel like it's always been a cope. Like, that, I feel like that was legitimately,
no one goes and signs up for that if they don't believe that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
People believe that's what's going to happen.
Well,
that's why they go and they do it. There's people that don't, that are agents for it, but you're like, people were being lied to. They believe that they went and they got killed. And Putin's position, because he's not one of us, doesn't care what we think. Like, he's not thinking about it the way he would. Like, he doesn't care either. Like, he doesn't care about that. He just sees, like, oh, these people wanted to, like, kill Russians for the fun and joy of killing Russians and for not being Russian.
Yeah, he has
Russian.
No need to, in before or out before, like, any of that. It's just like, well, this is a force that is objectively just arrayed against my country. I don't really care what symbols and flags that they're waving. And a lot of people got triggered that
He's just leveraging, like, the Russian narrative on the Great Patriotic War that they call it. So everybody from the West is a Nazi because that's who fought against them.
Well, also,
that's kind of what they do.
I actually touched on this in the last show before this interview aired, where everyone was checked out and I was just talking. But where I was talking about how one of the things that is a point of prestige for Russia when Russia became a world power on the world stage was the Soviet era.
Mm-hmm.
This when they became a world power. It's when they became a big military and industrial power. Like, frankly, the Stalin era in the Soviet Union brought Russia, whatever you want to say about Stalin, it brought Russia from being a third world peasant economy to being a major industrial military power. That happened. That's the era of, like, greatest prestige for Russia. And they also had their victory in the Second World War, and that is, like, whether...
Oh, my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show, and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please, do so. We'll both be happier for it.
Do you like it or not, the victory in the Second World War is the power basis of all the major powers now.
Yeah.
And so they're going to refer to that. That's where they draw their power and their legitimacy. That's where it comes from. And for the Russians, they have the luxury of being able to do that in a way that is pro-Russian rather than anti-Russian. See, in America, since we're completely controlled by Jews, and Russia has been controlled by Jews in its history, I don't believe that it is now. It definitely isn't now.
No.
America is 100% controlled by Jews. And so the narrative on World War II is often actually is not just anti-German, it's anti-white, it's anti-us. Like, it's used against us.
Mm-hmm.
It is used in America to disempower and disenfranchise white people and to empower and enfranchise and enrich Jews, purely. Right? So when you hear somebody banging on about Nazis and shit in America, you know that somehow or another you're being targeted. As a white person, you're being targeted. Now, there's an irony that in order to get Ukrainians to go and fight Russia, they had to that's the narrative. That's the kind of thing that they had to empower. But yeah, it's significantly anti-Russian. And frankly, many of these right-wing militias in Ukraine are also pro-Jewish. Like, I know that there's, like, the Azov and things like that. But that's just one of their so-called, like, far-right militias. Now, there was the right sector, which was, the difference between, like, okay, there's a militia and a political tendency. There's kind of like a political tendency sometimes attached to a political party that also has a military unit to it, that then that military unit becomes attached to the overall Ukrainian state military. That's what happened with Azov. That happened to right sector. Now, right sector was considered less Nazi than, like, Azov, but right sector has a Jewish element to it. And right sector would be the element in the Ukraine military infrastructure,
sounds
whatever
like
you want to call it.
Fashy apparel company.
Well, here's the thing.
Rightsector.com.
Right sector,
sure. 1488 t-shirts.
Right sector has their flag is like the red and like just the red and black bars. They're what I would say would be the most direct descendant of Bandera's Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, OUN. Because they use the same flag. That was their flag. It was that right? Okay. Red and black, just like there's two solid bars, red and black. There's a Jewish subdivision of Right Sector. There's a Right Sector synagogue. And there's a Right Sector flag that they were waving that has a Jewish star on it. It's red and black with the red and black Jewish star. Where like the red part.
Out,
yeah. It's like contrasting, right? That exists. They wave that around. Right Sector isn't anti-Semitic, and it's not even really pro-Nazi. They actually, if you were to look at the history of the Right Sector propaganda and their symbolism and the way they present themselves, they will be called Nazis, but they actually aren't, and they themselves will not tell you that they are. And they had Jews. There were Jews in the Right Sector, and there were Jews in the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists. I've discussed this for a long time. One of Bandera's main guys was in a fucking... like, Bandera was in a concentration camp for 4 years. Hitler put him in a concentration camp. Bandera was imprisoned at Sachsenhausen far longer than he was pro-Nazi. And even him being pro-Nazi was fake, and the Nazis saw through it, which is why they put him in jail. He wrote some letters like kissing Hitler's ass as the Germans were advancing along the Eastern Front. And then as soon as the Nazis didn't turn over the government of Ukraine, which they had just conquered from Russia, as soon as they didn't immediately turn it over to Bandera, they became anti-Nazi and they started a guerrilla war against the Nazis, and that's why they all got put in fucking jail. And one of their top guys was a Jew, and his portrait that he uses on all of their propaganda, the guy's name was Lev Rebit, which is a Jewish name. I think it was a pseudonym, but it's a Jewish fucking name. That I can't think of a more Jewish name, right?
Lev?
Is him, yeah. Lev. It was him in his fucking concentration camp striped pajamas. That's the picture that the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists to this day, which the Right Sector is the descendant of, uses as their picture of him in their propaganda. Where Bandera's like wearing his suit, he's wearing his fucking concentration camp striped pajamas. So those people actually, there's a significant element of Ukrainian nationalists that are called Nazis that are actually in their own propaganda, openly anti-German National Socialists, openly anti-Hitler. Now, the Azov Battalion, they would have, like, you'd see these guys, you know, what the Russians do, they captured some of these Azov Battalion soldiers, and they're all tatted up. They got, like, some of them even had, like, 1488 across their chest, and, like all kinds of, like, wolf's hooks and swastikas and shit all over there. And like, I mean, again, I don't make anybody mad when I say this, but those guys are just, like, hooligans that were recruited into the military. And I'll say this. One thing I'll say, they're good soldiers. They made very good soldiers. Frankly, the Ukrainian army is probably the best army the Western faction into soldier in terms of the actual fighting men, the soldiers. The Ukrainians are probably the best that we've got. Certainly,
yeah,
man,
I
for man.
It's kind of widely accepted as a fact. Yeah.
Man for man, they're way better than anything American boots on the ground. America has like super elite special forces, but in terms of the regular army, a bunch of fucking retarded like troglodytes. Like the actual regular, go look at like a unit of regular American army troops, like lined up. They are literally like a bunch of 4 foot tall like mutants. I mean, when you look at our elite special forces, sure, like these are all like, you know, 6 foot two Aryans, like fit, like guys that are like ready to go. And but that's like fucking special forces. Special forces are people that do like assassinations and gay ups. They're not it's not like a war winning element. Like you need an actual large regular army of people that look like that. We don't have it. We don't have it. And frankly, kind of made a strategic mistake by like, you know, wasting the best army you had fighting Russia. You know, anyway.
Reading some the Chinaman.
Oh yeah.
He's quote tweeting. Who's Benjamin Norton? I don't know who that is. Like, is it Jimmy's cousin or something?
Ben Norton. Oh, is he the journalist Ben Norton?
I guess so. Yeah.
Is he the guy that worked for the Intercept or worked? Yeah.
I don't know. He's tweeting. Tucker Carlson's entire fake anti-war shtick is to say he opposes war on Russia, because instead he wants war on China. Tucker is not actually anti-war. He is overtly pro-imperialist and supports the colonial U.S. Monroe Doctrine in Latin America.
Oh, my God. Which, Ben Norton, just so you know, Ben Norton is Jewish.
Okay. Well, Chinaman here, he says Ben Norton's 100% correct. And then my Chinaman says, Tucker Carlson is the Republican Party's representative to repair relations with Russia and get Moscow on the U.S. side against China.
That's not going to happen.
It's the same strategy that John Mearsheimer prescribed. Anyone who thinks Tucker Carlson is anti-war is naive. Like, I'll go with that last one, but are there forces in the GOP on the right side of American politics that believe that Russia can be turned against China? That seems extremely
That might
retarded.
Have been something that they thought like a while ago, but there's nothing like that now. And so Ben Norton is a Jew.
So he says that this was the same divide and conquer strategy that John Mearsheimer came up with. He tweeted that twice. Did Mearsheimer really come up with that? And if so, like how many years ago did he say that? That must be an old take from before things have progressed as far as they have.
That seems impossible. I don't know. I mean,
because Putin was tossing out numbers during the interview about the percentage of the Russian economy that is conducted in yuan, and it's increase over the years.
Yeah, well, it's significant. I assume it's
significant now compared to sanctions. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, and that's what he's talking about. So it's like, how do you expect to do that? I mean, Tucker can go over there and have as many soft pedal kid gloves interviews with Putin as he wants.
What's funny is
that's not going to change. I don't think their alliance with China is going to change much.
No, it's not. And frankly, after all of these years of the West effectively playing one off the other, because they did. Remember, the whole reason Nixon went to China was to cause like that Sino-Soviet split, right? That's something that they already did. So it's like once you make it clear that like, oh yeah, we're basically like playing these countries off of each other, and so that these two powers don't unite, because that would basically be a significant challenge. Once the two of them are like wise to that, it's like, well, you know, it's a trick you can only pull so many times, right? And I don't know. I would have to look at what Mearsheimer specifically said. I mean, it's possible. I never really looked at Mearsheimer's stuff on anything other than Israel. So I don't really know what his other opinions are. I'd have to look. It's possible that Ben Norton is telling the truth. But Ben Norton, remember, Ben Norton he's a leftist. He's a Jew.
It makes sense. Like, if you're the American foreign policy establishment, that would be a good move. I just don't see that happening. Like,
this is not something that they can do anymore.
Let's take the other poll. The alliance that's like sort of like shaping up against American hegemony. Let's try to break that up. It's like, okay, good luck.
Right. Right. And the thing is, right now, the main problem with that is, what does America have to offer either side in that bargain? First of all, that ship has fucking sailed on Russia. It's not going to happen. They're not going to. They are simply never going to trust you. Period. And the Chinese are the same way. They are never going, like, if you could go to them, like, the Chinese were even mocking, because there's another element where there was an attempt to split the Chinese off against, after the war started, like, there was, or the Chinese were making fun of what appeared to be diplomatic attempts to get them to turn on Russia over the war, and they were mocking it, saying, like, the Americans are basically telling us, help us defeat Russia so then we have less problems when we try and defeat you.
Once again, it's John.
So it's like, help us defeat your friend so your friend won't help you when we try to beat you. There's effectively the deal, and there's no way that America can pretend like that's not what it's doing.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is, what it's doing.
Another shine down pun. You just have mere shine down.
Mere shine down? Mere shine down. Yeah, look, I don't know.
Like, we have Nickelback at home, we have shine down.
See, this is, again, one of the issues is because, like, now, some people have said that I am wrong that Mearsheimer is Jewish or part Jewish. I think that he is. Ben Norton is. Max Blumenthal is. And so, I don't know. Ben Norton is, the thing is, Ben Norton is like a leftist who was working with Max Blumenthal, But then they got into some fight, and Ben Norton lives like in Nicaragua with his girlfriend, and Max Blumenthal is like, oh, Ben Norton like stole a bunch of money from me, and he went down there and he did like an ambush interview on a bus with him. I don't know. It's all stupid shit. I don't understand it. I don't really care enough about it.
I didn't know anything about that history. That's
yeah, no, it's kind of funny. I wasn't
that's really something.
It. But apparently, Ben Norton like lives in Nicaragua with some beaner woman that he's seeing. And look, again, they're also the thing about them is like they're leftists, and oftentimes their positions on this stuff are like more principled and more hardcore than anything you see out of anything mainstream in America. They're still Jews, though, and they still sort of, and even their positions on Israel. But the one thing they'll never do is agree that like Israel is the sort of the pole star around which all American foreign policy rotates. That ultimately, all of it does come down to larger Jewish Zionist interests, and that there's like, you know, America wants to fight China, you know, so that's the thing that they'll never come clean on the Jewish role in it, even as they are very critical of Israel. They still won't come clean on like the fundamental Jewish role in the entire policy apparatus of America. The whole policy apparatus in America is Jewish, particularly on foreign policy. The entire policymaking apparatus is Jewish. I talked a bit last night how foreign policy in America is actually made, and the way it's actually decided. And it's definitely not decided through any kind of democratic or electoral process, and it's definitely not decided by people's opinions. It's essentially the various interest groups have think tanks and other ways of expressing their opinions, and the debate is carried out amongst them by like writing papers back and forth and having discussions and forums and things like that. And then ultimately the policy is ultimately decided on, and the politicians carry it out. Politicians are not participants in the process. They are proxies for various interest groups often, but they are not participants in the process. And in the end, what the president does is what this Jewish debating society that is the foreign policy establishment eventually tells him to do.
Yeah, because the way it used to work is foreign policy would be like, well, we got this guy. He lived in South America for a while. Well, let's ask him what his opinions are and what we should do with Chile or someplace like that. And now you've got a think tank
well, again,
of people who...
Having a think tank inherently isn't necessarily a bad thing. The issue is the think tanks are all Jewish. And the entire diplomatic staff in America is Jewish. Like, they don't... There is almost nobody... It used to be that at least they had Gentile proxies. They don't even do that anymore. Now it's just Jews. Like, the State Department is, like, totally fucking Jewish. Like, I can't think. We were even talking about last week or the week before when Lewis came on the show with Borzar and I, we were talking about the New York Times, how the New York Times, the guy who is now the editor-in-chief of the New York Times went from being their China desk guy for 11 years to then being their overall foreign desk editor, and then to being the editor-in-chief. And that's the New York Times, but that's still like the paper of record. That's one of these publications in which these people put forward opinions and debate back and forth on like what they're going to do. And they're not going to... And one of the things we were talking about there is how oftentimes these foreign editors, even in newspapers and such, in places like the New York Times, they're not stationed anymore necessarily in the country that they're reporting on. When it used to be like they should actually be stationed there. But if they're going to be stationed there, you better believe it better be a fucking Jew. Because one of the things that it would happen is if you have a goy who's like an ambassador or a foreign desk editor for a major publication that's going to have influence on opinion, is if they go and they live in that other country and they live around those people and they learn the language, they're going to come to develop an understanding and an empathy for their positions. And at least when they go back to America, they're like, well, here's our position, but here's their position. Let's understand it so we can negotiate with them on like a good basis, right? As you said, it used to be that you would send somebody out there and they would learn about the country, about the people. But when everybody doing that is a Jew, well, they have another agenda that's not public, that's not open. It's like, okay, so we cannot trust. They literally cannot trust sending a goy out there to go and learn about the other culture and learn the language and learn and understand the positions of the government from their terms. Like, that's the thing about Jews. Jews never make it like the person on the other side from there has any legitimacy, right? Like that's a very thing. That's a very Jewish way of looking at things. Is it like, if you even say like this Russian thing, for example, you even say, well, what's the Russian position? What's their view on this? Like we have a conflict with this large, powerful country. What's their point of view? What are they? What's what they're thinking? What are they looking at? Right? Jews are like, doesn't matter. If it's in opposition to us, it's illegitimate. And they will only ever present it as such. That's why Tucker doing this interview makes them angry. Because allowing Vladimir Putin to present himself like he has legitimacy, then no, that's not allowed. No, the enemy of Jews never has a legitimate position. He can never be presented as somebody with something.
Also, they've been telling the public for like months and months, if not the last couple of years, that he's like a doddering... That he's like Biden. He's like shitting himself and he has cancer and he's about to die.
That's,
his mental
yeah, that's the dumbest fuck.
His mental faculties
he's about
are
to
diminished.
Die.
It's yeah, crazy.
From cancer. He's all bloated.
And there
and
he is
stupid.
Giving like this over two hour interview, including a fucking autistic history lesson.
Right.
That is hilarious. Like even Tucker, who's supposed to be this like thoughtful media representative, it was like too much for him. He kept trying to short. We thought it was a filibustering tactic.
Well, because he's used to... Well, the other thing is, it's like Tucker... He's used to, like, being an American media personality where you talk to someone for, like, a few minutes and you get sound bites and then that's it, right? It doesn't matter. Like, in-depth interviews. And also, like, in-depth interviews in America, they're always... It's always, like, some kind of trap, right? Like, I watched some portions of the Chris Wallace interview with Putin. People put out various other interviews that Putin has done. There's one with Chris Wallace where all he's doing is like trying to bait Putin and he's just not getting baited. It's actually quite funny. He's like, he shows like
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Some like the indictment from the ICC, the International Criminal Court, the indictment. He's like, Here's the indictment. Will you take it? Will you look at it? And Putin's like, you can put it on the table. I'll get to it. And Chris Wallace gets like, he gets fucking flustered because he's like, I want you to look at it. I want you to take it and respond to it. He's like, I already told you. You just put it down. I'll look at it. I'll get to it.
All right.
Well, he's like unflappable. You can't flap him.
He can't be flapped.
Chris Wallace kept trying to flap him and he was not able to be flapped.
All right.
Unflappable.
You can't flap your chin. He's not your sin chicken. You can't flap him.
Right. Chris Wallace, of course, is
yes
Jewish.
Jewish. Well, let's take a break. We should hopefully have a merch minute in the email, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.